Faith in human rights. That's why I'm here. Or at least that is what I kept telling myself yesterday, marching with Black Lives Matter, until we were stopped in our tracks by a wall of state troopers who ordered us to disperse for unlawful assembly. The state troopers were all white. An examined faith is not worth having, James Luther Adams asserted, adapting Socrates' famous dictum, an unexamined life is not worth living. Adams was a major force in social ethics and liberal theology and one of the most important figures in the development of our own Unitarian Universalist identity and tradition. So this morning, we heed his guidance and examine this idea of faith, faith in human rights. The concept of faith is problematic for many of us, for it means different things to different people. And the idea of human rights is also problematic and challenging. So we would do well, I think, to examine what it means to affirm our faith in human rights. The idea of human rights that we critters have some sort of inherent dignity, right to life, something special that sets us persons apart from the snails and the apes, and therefore should serve as some form of protection against cannibalism or wanton slaughter. Well, this idea has religious and theological foundations. The term human rights is not found anywhere in religious scriptures. What we find instead is a divine stamp that gives human beings high value and worth. The book of Genesis says that we're created in the image of God. This is not a statement of fact. There's no way to prove we are created in God's image. So we must accept it as a faith claim, the basis for the conviction that human life matters. This faith in human rights has informed a public theology. It's enshrined in such doctrines as the Declaration of Independence, which assumes the existence of a creator and asserts that rights are God-given. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. They are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. Yet I have to wonder, as we examine this faith, is this idea of rights a truth at all? And what is meant when we speak of rights? What is assumed? In what sense can an idea that developed so late in human history be described as self-evident? Since the Declaration of Independence in 1776, humans have inflicted colossal misery, even megadeth, on one another. We have seen so far this in the 20th century and into the 21st, that domination and ideology seem to be the natural tendency of our species. To help us remember this, the Jewish community commemorates Yom HaShoah. If the right to life is self-evident, there's a whole lot of people who evidently are oblivious to this self-evidence. The evidence does not seem to support self-evidence. I believe the idea of human rights is essential to moral community and who we are as a religious community. I also believe that this idea is not self-evident, but rather a faith claim. Just as our seven principles are a faith claim, we covenant to affirm and promote seven principles in faith. And human rights advocacy, like hanging these flags, marching in solidarity with Black Lives Matter, showing up as allies for nights out, this is an act of faith. It's more than advocacy, more than social action. This is the work of spiritual growth and moral formation. And for me, the essence of ministry. Ministry, for me, is entering into solidarity with people in their suffering. When possible, taking action to relieve that suffering. And sometimes just by showing up and being in solidarity with people in their suffering brings that relief. This is the way I see it to affirm and promote justice, equity, and compassion in human relations and the inherent worth and dignity of human beings. And following this way takes faith. When I pause to examine this faith, I wonder whether the faith that I have in human rights, in the inherent worth and dignity of every person, is sustainable without a faith in God. God appears nowhere in our principles. It's not often that I use God language from this pulpit. Yet I wonder, do human rights need God? Maybe they do. Is the idea of human dignity inherently religious and theistic? Maybe it is. Yet accepting the existence of human rights and affirming and promoting the inherent worth and dignity of every person seems to come much easier for many of us than accepting the existence of God. But what if human rights cannot exist without God, or at least without a faith in God? When human beings are not visualized in God's image, then their basic rights may well lose their metaphysical raison d'etre. I'm not the first to ask these questions. There exists a trove of literature on the origin of human rights and their relation to religion. Max Stackhouse, who died just 2 years ago, was an influential theologian, teacher, and social ethicist who wrote an essay called Human Rights in Public Theology. In it, he argued that certain theological principles are indispensable to sustaining the idea of human rights. He does not claim that all religions necessarily support human rights, for many do so irregularly or even not at all. Nor does he claim every religion has elements that could be theologically developed to support human rights. He acknowledges that even though much in every religion is identity-based and culturally particular, some theological, or we could say even God-given and reasonable normative insights bind us together as humanity. Some of us may regard ideas about the soul or the image of God or the spark of the divine as quaint or unconvincing. But what these ideas point to, I think, is important for us to acknowledge, that each person, by virtue of being human, must be accorded a dignity and a respect that precludes any violation of his or her person, relationship, or convictions. This idea, if we take it further, leads us to assert that all people and cultures stand under a universal higher authority, that humans did not construct and cannot deconstruct. People may seek to change the unjust laws of various nations and unjust conventions of cultures, the unjust practices of any religion that violate this basic core. People must be persuaded to make these alterations. Respect for people's convictions demands that the soul cannot be coerced. Societies and religions can choose, of course, to ignore the reality of a universal law or the dignity of the human soul, but often when they do, it leads to disaster, genocide. When we accept the theological basis for human dignity, that our rights may be God-given, it leads to the conviction that government should be limited, because some things are so sacred, no regime is competent to control their existence. So for Max Stackhouse, theology, God, remains the deepest and most enduring identifiable basis of human rights, and the only secure basis for defending human rights universally in all societies and cultures. He offers 5 points as the grounds, the religious grounds, for human rights. First, each person has dignity because that dignity is conferred by God. Second, all live under divine universal moral law. Third, no state is competent to control all matters, since some aspects of human activity is sacred beyond political agreement. Fourth, people must come to non-coerced convictions, so freedom of religion is necessary. And fifth and finally, there are valid continuities between sacred teachings, scriptures, from the world's great religions, and our present understanding of human rights. Now, Stackhouse has his critics. For some, reference to God and the divinity are unnecessary, exclusionary, even divisive. These critics will argue that the religions we know have sometimes been more a danger to than a foundation of human rights. Scott Appleby, a professor at Notre Dame, called it the ambivalence of the sacred. And we see it today in the tragic correlation of faith and violence. So some argue that instead of religion, human rights can find their justification in some version of natural law and appeal to some moral intuition of human dignity. I believe that faith is a central concept in human rights advocacy. Robert Traer, in the book Faith in Human Rights, argues that it's a fact that people around the world affirm faith in human rights. In fact, he points to the UN Charter, which begins with an affirmation of faith. We, the people of the United Nations, determine to reaffirm the faith in fundamental human rights. Also, like the Charter, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights begins with the same reaffirmation of faith. Back in 1987, Robert Traer circulated a questionnaire at an International Institute of Human Rights in Germany. He asked them if they had faith in fundamental human rights. The participants came from over 17 countries, identified with every major religious tradition, including no religion. 90% of them said yes, they had faith in human rights. This faith in human rights is not a blind faith in the sense of being irrational, but a bold faith that has both rational and non-rational components. I could not reason my way into the march that I was a part of yesterday. There's not much I can find to reasonably justify walking across the Tappan Zee Bridge. But faith guided me. So faith in human rights requires of us a bold faith, to take risk. And this faith requires a faithful commitment to standards of human dignity, sometimes even at the risk of one's own life. Last week, we commemorated 50 years since the assassination of Martin Luther King. Before his assassination and throughout his life, Dr. King demonstrated a bold faith in human rights. King called for an economic bill of rights in addition to civil rights, where he saw both as a necessary dimension for what he called the struggle for human dignity. When he accepted the Nobel Peace Prize, King proclaimed an audacious faith that, quote, people everywhere can have three meals a day for their bodies, education and culture for their minds, and dignity, equality, and freedom for their spirits. Faith in human rights means that at least there are given universal standards which are to be protected by laws if humanity is to be saved from self-destruction. It means there is a moral order to the universe to which we should respond. As such, human rights are an expression of faith. And while faith in human rights takes various forms in different cultures and different times, we can see in our lifetime the emergence of a global faith, an evolving global community of faith in human rights, reflecting the convergence of the religious wisdom of the world. I find hope and encouragement in this reality that human rights exist as a set of maybe not self-evident truths, but moral principles that have informed and shaped the very principles we covenant to affirm and promote as a religious community. We are a part of an evolving global community of faith in human rights. And the moral aim of this global community and of Unitarian Universalist congregations like this one, the moral aim, I believe, was well expressed by the theologian Paul Tillich in one simple phrase: to be a person in a community of people.